Lifestyle of the Messengers of Christ, Part 9, The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 815, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 1179, since January the 1st, 2016. And I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. As we continue this series, The Lifestyle, Not of the Rich and Famous, but the Lifestyle of the Messengers, the Apostles of Christ. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, this lets us know that God wants us to visit different cities and towns as His servants to witness. He wants you to go to localities and share the gospel. And we thank God for everybody who has done that, who is doing that. I have two daughters who are going to foreign towns to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in their unique way. And so we thank God for all of the permanent missionaries, the temporary missionaries who go to different towns to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and thereby till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, listen to this carefully, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. You don't have to say anything, just shake off the dust of your feet. You don't have to get mad and angry and cuss folks out because they won't receive you and hear you and argue with people. We got some Christians who love to argue. We do. We have a group of people in the church. They love to argue. They love to pick a fight with the enemy, especially Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, and all of that. And you need to get that out of your spirit and just witness to folks and move on. And if they don't receive you, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. My God, help us. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation full and free through him. We thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of your Holy Son. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and for the gift of your Holy Word and for your system of grace. And Lord, we pray now that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons and his hosts. Rebuke and bind the satanic spirit of Judas and betrayal and sabotage from this place. And cast it out of the hearts and minds, souls and spirits of the people here and out there who would try to hinder your gospel from going forward. And we pray for souls to be saved and for Christians to be revived around the world. And we thank you for all of the people who gather around from around the world, different devices, inviting others, some who cannot even go to church because they're being persecuted. Thank you for blessing us to be here for those persecuted saints. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, John Wesley said, "What a marvel that the devil does not love field preaching or street preaching, or going out into the highways and byways telling folks about Jesus, or any kind of gospel preaching. And then he said, neither do I. He said, I love a commodious room, a soft cushion, a handsome pulpit, but where is my zeal if I do not trample all these underfoot in order to save one more lost soul? That's John Wesley. On last week, beloved, we talked about how the needs of the messengers of Christ, and specifically the apostles, would be provided. All of Jesus' messengers trust God for their provisions while engaged in the Lord's work. All of God's servants who are truly called by him. However, the apostles who were sent exclusively to the Jews at this time on their first missionary journey were bound by certain instructions from Christ which reflected their present day situation and culture. One of those instructions was to abide in the homes of those who were worthy whenever they entered a new town. Regarding this command, the Bible Knowledge Commentary states, as the apostles ministered to the people, they in turn were to be ministered to by their recipients. In every town or village, every city, they were to find a worthy person and stay with that individual. Such worthiness would obviously be determined by a favorable response to the message preached. Those who rejected the message and failed to welcome the apostles were to be passed by, shaking the dust off their feet as they left an inhospitable place, symbolized their rejection of the Jewish city as if it were a despised Gentile city whose very dust was unwanted. The Lord said that judgment on such people would be greater than that on Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, these are the words of Jesus, so you best believe that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by God. He said, when the final day of judgment comes. Now, for those of us back in the old days, and when I say old days, I'm talking about Forty years ago, when I traveled around the world and preached the gospel, oftentimes in those days, they put me up with a family. And for some reason in our modern times, especially among us Gentiles, one of the most uncomfortable things to do is to stay with a family that's not yours. And I'm sure that it took grace on the apostles' part and on that family, on that family's part. It takes something to stay with a family. And it takes a family, it takes something for a family to host somebody. You have uncomfortable situations. And I'm reminded of an evangelist friend of mine. Dr. R.C. Reynolds went and preached overseas, and went to a house, had to stay in a house with a family. And for some reason, there was an issue with towels. They always didn't have any towels. And he was so upset about this, and he's a very particular individual, if you know anything about Dr. Reynolds. And he was so upset about this and so disturbed. When he got back, he went out to, I believe, Kmart at the time, and just bought a whole bunch of towels and put them in the house. He was so bothered by that. And his wife said, "Why are you buying all these towels? And we already have towels." He said, "I just want to make sure if we ever have any guests that we never run out of towels, because I had a hard time staying with this inhospitable family." I hope it wasn't that way for the apostles of Christ. Obviously, ladies and gentlemen, the disciples were not to disguise their message in order to gain a favorable reception. They were to go preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand. And by the way, preacher, if God has truly called you to preach, you need to be preaching, not sitting in somebody's pulpit waiting for somebody to die. You need to be preaching at every opportunity. And I would encourage you to preach every day somewhere. Find you a corner to preach on. Find you a neighborhood to go and share the gospel with. Take your family with you. I assure you that every God-called preacher will preach. If you don't have a fire shut up in your bones to preach the gospel, you probably have not been called to preach, and you will not wait for a handsome pulpit, as Dr. John Wesley referred to. We have some pretty preachers who can't preach unless they are behind a handsome pulpit, a big pulpit. A truly God-called preacher will preach on the streets, will preach in the neighborhood. He will find a way to preach the gospel. Make no mistake about it. And the messengers of Christ, they were to stay with someone who, being receptive to that message of the gospel, invited them into their home. The command to abide till ye go thence implies that they were not to seek out better lodging. In other words, they ought not to say, "Well, you know, I remember one time I was preaching in Africa, and in to be quite specific, Ghana, Africa. And they baptized me, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I love them, but they baptized me. I was wondering why they were doing me the way they were doing me, but they wanted me to see and to feel exactly what they are dealing with. And so they hid from me all nice restaurants. They hid from me all nice hotels. And it wasn't until around the last day they took me to this. They baptized me, man. I washed in a big old, I guess, 10-20 gallon tub that you had to pour the water on your head. And I stayed with them in their homes. And man, I tell you, it was just a baptism for real. A baptism of fire, if you will, because I was just not used to that coming from America, and they knew it. And I guess it was an inside joke, but they were not laughing. They did not smile. And I just would ask every now and then, "Is there not a place where we can get a hamburger or something?" They said, "No." They basically lied and said, "No, sir, no, don't worry about that. No, you just keep on doing what you're doing." And it was the last day they took me to this beautiful palace-like hotel. marble floors, sitting on the ocean. And I could, it was a 5-star hotel, and I could order anything I wanted. And I ordered a hamburger, and man, it was just exquisite. I said, now, why y'all didn't bring me here before? Well, we didn't want to do that. And they still were not laughing. They still were not smiling. They were just serious. I guess they knew American preachers were not used to what they had to go through. But by the grace of God, I did not ask for extra anything. I didn't ask for a new lodging and so forth. But I did ask for a hamburger, and God forgive me. But anyway, the command to abide till ye go thence implies that they were not to seek out better lodging as long as the people who had invited them were receptive to the message. We got preachers today who demand this and that. They got to have a 5-star hotel. They have to have first class tickets or a private jet. They need to be picked up in a limousine. Wow, the messengers of Christ have really changed. They were not to choose lodging based on the status or wealth. And on the flip side, I didn't ask for it, but there have been churches that without even batting an eye would put me up in the Hilton and would provide my payment for my flight and all of that good stuff and take me to the best restaurants. So I've been on both sides of that. I didn't ask for it, didn't demand it. They just did it out of the abundance of the love and grace and of the Lord and the finances that God had blessed them with. They were just used to putting preachers up in the Hilton Hotel. I've been on both sides of this, but I didn't demand it like so many preachers are demanding today. We're not supposed to do that based upon their wealth or lack thereof of the people who opened their doors to them and to the gospel. In a similar manner, messengers today, preachers, missionaries, evangelists, pastors, and most churches don't even have evangelists anymore. They barely have missionaries. They oftentimes have pastors, and they just trade love offerings. And nothing changes in the church. Folks just get excited, but they don't change. But that's a whole another message. They ought not to chase after opportunities based on prominence, status, or possible financial gain. That ought not to be the focus. And may God help you if that is your focus. There's something wrong somewhere. You may not even be born again if that's your focus. If money is your focus, how big the honorarium is going to be is your focus. Whether or not you stay in the Hilton or in the some other prominent hotel is your focus. You probably have never been born again. You are probably a false prophet if that's on your mind. We ought to minister wherever there is an open door that God leads us through. Another thing that preachers ought not to be doing is hustling meetings. One of the sad things that some evangelists do, some pastors do, some so-called communicators do. I'm going to be in your town. They take their calendar to conferences. I'm going to be in your town on August the 12th and for the whole week. So let me get a meeting with you. Let me pencil you in. I call that hustling meetings. It's tragic. It is disgusting. It is sad. Now, if God has not led somebody to invite you to their church, you ought not to be asking for a meeting. Hitting people up, forcing them to pencil you in. We ought not to seek or more readily accept an invitation to speak at a mega church or a national conference while passing over opportunities to speak at a prison or a homeless shelter or an outdoor gathering or what we used to call the old folks' home. Nowadays, we got more comedians going to the old folks' home than we have preachers. Churches used to have ministries to the what we used to call the old folks' home, the old saints. The women used to go and share the gospel and pass out gospel literature before the old folks died. Now we're letting old folks go to hell. What a captive audience. And we ought to get back to that. From his epistles, we learn that Paul preached wherever there was an opportunity to preach. Someone said that when Paul came to town, either there was going to be a revival or a riot. So he didn't get that many meetings, invites rather. He went to areas that the gospel had not been preached, and that's what most preachers ought to do. Listen to me very carefully. It's very disgusting how that you always want to go where a man has labored so hard to build up God's work there, and you want to go and be seen, and you have not done anything. You always want to go where the saints are already there, and they're going to receive you, and so forth and so on. Why don't you go someplace where the gospel has not been preached? There are people dying and going to hell in your local jail, in your local hospital. I know of someone who used to have a burden for the children at the hospital, and they went one time and then got weary and well doing and didn't go back. God does not like ugly people. There are thousands of places, hundreds of places at least, where you can go and preach the gospel. We got women who want to preach in the pulpit to men when there are many other opportunities to preach, many places to preach. And you need to take those opportunities. It's not about being seen. It's not about being important. It's not about I get to preach at this certain place. God wants you to preach if you're called to preach. And you need to preach wherever he leads you, wherever he wants you to be. And wherever you are, that's where God wants you to be. You do what you can, little as much, when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. Amen, somebody. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that a wide door for effective work has opened to me. Let the doors open for you. And if they don't try to push them down. I'm getting ready to preach on envy here in a few minutes. We got too many preachers who are envious of others. And so they try to push down doors and be with a certain group of people, want to be seen with a certain group of people. You don't know what kind of hell those people had to go through to get to where they are. And you don't know how many temptations they had to resist, whereas you didn't resist your temptation. You messed up. But yet you want to climb up the ladder with them. They stayed with their terrible marriage, but you didn't. You've been divorced 2 times. And you want to just climb up the ladder and be on the roster with them. You've been in scandal after scandal. They have not, by the grace of God. But yet you want to be right there with them. You need to accept the opportunities that God gives you. And if God gives you the opportunity to preach to 2 people in Podunk, Kansas, that's what you better do. and God will reward you accordingly. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that a wide door for effective work has opened to me. I came to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Notice what Paul says, a door opened unto me of the Lord. If God does not open the door, don't you try to go in it. God is the one who is in control, not you. Because if you do that, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to be blessed. If God ain't in it, it's not going to go anywhere, dear friend. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not about you. It's about him. He's in charge. You're not. And so, beloved, if you go to preach Christ's gospel, the Lord will open doors. It is not our job to open the doors. It is only our job to walk through the doors that he has opened and tell the story of Jesus Christ and his love. I love what Catherine Hanke wrote so many years ago. As I have said to you before, you need a Bible, and I would encourage you to get a Bible in print, not just the Bible on your phone, because the electricity may go out. You may not have Wi-Fi here in a few days. You better have you an old-fashioned print Bible. And you need to also get you an old-fashioned hymn book. Because yes, oh yes, you can learn some things from the hymn book. But Sister Catherine Hanke went deep when she wrote, I love to tell the story. Now, I heard this song when I was a young Christian. I heard it, I believe, the first time on Evangelist Oliver B. Green's program back nearly 40 years ago. It blessed my heart then, and it blesses my heart today. She said, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I told my wife yesterday after preaching the gospel exactly what this dear sister was talking about. How sweet it is, not only to the sinner, hopefully, but to me, the preacher. And then this dear lady went on to say, I love to tell the story, watch this, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. How about it, dear friend? Dear Christian friend, are you a messenger of Christ? Are you telling the old story? Are you telling others about Christ? Are you at least giving out gospel tracts and gospel pamphlets? Are you sending those out via email? By the way, that needs to happen today. Everybody, that needs to happen today. Is the gospel still sweet to you, or has the shout gone out? And dear Christian friend, confess your sins, repent of your pride, your stubbornness. You're seeking money and wealth and fame instead of seeking lost sinners and preaching the gospel to those who need it most. Let's pray. Let's stand and pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray first for ourselves as Christians. Have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins, of being concerned about other things other than the gospel, other than your great commission. And Lord, help us all to follow the great plan that Dr. Greer out of North Carolina has come up with. Everybody reach one. Focus on one. If every Christian would just reach one, Lord, we would probably have revival. Churches would be jam-packed. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to be about your business, the Great Commission, getting the gospel to the lost. And Lord, we pray for those who are participating right now, listening, gathered around by soul winners around different devices around the world, in China, in Russia, in Kenya, in the Philippines, all around the world. Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls, and change their lives by the power of your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. And so have I, and so has the Pope and every preacher. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We all have crossed God. We all have disappointed God with our sin. We have committed trespasses and transgressions against him. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You know it and I know it. It is built into us. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically, and our bodies fall away and are buried into a grave. I saw a hearse yesterday. We have funeral homes because we die. You're going to die one day. You're going to be in the hearse one day. Your body is. And if you don't trust Christ as Savior, your eternal living soul will go to a place called hell at the same time. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached on hell more than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ, yes, the meek and lowly and loving one that everybody in their right mind celebrates on Christmas. The man who shuts down Walmart, Jesus, preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. to warn us of that awful place, because he loves us so much he does not want us to go. He loves us so much that he died on the cross for our sins as the Lamb of God. He shed his precious blood. He suffered like no man suffered for our sins. I believe he suffered more than any man in the history of the world. This is the first time I have said that. Now, I'm not God, so I don't know that, but I believe he suffered more than any man in the history of the world because of your sins and mine. He was buried. He died. He was buried, and he rose on the third day for you and for me to save our souls from hell. That's how bad sin is. That's how ugly sin is in God's sight. Look at the bloodied and marred face of Jesus. The bloodied body of Jesus, the broken body. They say that he was whipped so badly you can see on the inside of his body the blood was flowing out for you and for me. No man has ever been so humiliated and yet so innocent. He didn't die for his sins. He died for yours. He died for mine. And that's a fact. You can spurn his love all you want to. You can continue in your wicked, evil ways and sins and your abominations, your adultery, your fornication, your incest, your lying, your dishonesty, your homosexuality, your bad attitude, your drunkenness, your rebelliousness, your hatred, your resentment, your racism. Go ahead on the sins you enjoy. Just keep on doing them. Spurn his grace and spurn his love at your peril. For the Bible tells us in Revelation 21:8, the Bible tells us about some people who will go to hell. But the fearful, people too afraid to get saved because they are afraid of what their family members, their friends, their co-workers might say. And unbelieving, those who are, they call themselves these wonderful, interesting little names, agnostics and atheists, the so-called unbelievers. These same unbelievers who don't believe in God, as soon as the earthquake hit, what do they say? Oh God, God help us. One lady got caught in a earthquake a couple of weeks ago, and she just kept calling God, 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 God help us. Some people called on Jesus. They never called on him before, but when the ground begins to shake, they start calling on God. When trouble comes, they start calling on God. The so-called unbelieving. And then the abominable. These are sinners who are beyond the pale, who commit abominations such as homosexuality, which is an abomination in God's sight. It is totally unnatural for a man to be in the bed with a man. It is disgusting in God's sight, and it is disgusting in the sight of other sinners by the millions. But not only that, incest, people in the same family, the same blood, demonically attracted to each other, mothers and sons, fathers and daughters, brothers and sisters. If you have that kind of demonic attraction to your own family, if you're lusting after your own sister or your own brother, or your own child, and you don't repent and trust Christ as Savior, dear friend, you're going to hell. But not only that, these are abominations that are happening all across this country and around the globe. Men and women now attracted to animals, trying to have sex with animals and have done so. They call it bestiality. Men like the man the other day who raped a 4-year-old girl in the McDonald's bathroom. Where do you think they're going if they don't repent and trust Christ as Savior? They're not going to heaven. You can't do that. You're not going to heaven doing that, man. None of this abominable activity. When even sinners are disgusted. People like that, when they go to jail, and they should go to jail for life. Even the cruelest sinners in jail, the inmates, they're going to get you for molesting a four-year-old child. They're going to get you for being a homosexual. They're going to get you for committing incest in your own family. They're going to get you in jail. I mean the murderers. And we're going to hit the murderers in a second. They're going to get you in jail because to them, that's breaking the code. To them, you're beyond the pale when you do stuff like that. And whoremongers, people who commit fornication on Sunday afternoon, people who commit adultery on Sunday afternoon in the church. I'm talking about church folk. Claim to be saved. Are going to the lake of fire, and all murderers, people who kill others, are going to the lake of fire. Where else are you going to go? You're going to hell. All sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo. Of course. Reading palms, crystal balls, going to hell, going to the lake of fire. All idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God. There are some people who love their family more than they love God, and God is the one who gave you the family. Some people love golf more than they love God, but God is the one who gave you the ability to play it. And you ought to worship God on Sunday morning and then go play golf, not the other way around. And all liars. If God didn't get you on the other ones, he got you on that one. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, preacher, I've never heard it like that before. I never heard a preacher preach on hell and the lake of fire like that. I know. That's why I'm doing it. Because Jesus wants me to, because he did it. So hell is bad news, dear friend. The lake of fire is good. Bad news. The lake of fire is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, Danae, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that is, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. It's very simple, isn't it? It's not hard at all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Contrary to what some of these stuffed shirt preachers will tell you, yes, it is easy to be saved. It wasn't easy for God. It was not easy for Jesus. But he made it easy for us. All you have to do is believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth and pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save your soul. Why would God make it hard for such wicked, ignorant people as we are? He made it easy. It's easy to be saved. That's all it takes. You don't have to be a church member to be saved. You don't have to be in the church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to speak in tongues to get saved. You don't have to jump and shout and run around the church ever to be saved. You never saw Jesus jumping and shouting and running around. Never saw Paul doing that. Okay? If people want to do that, that's their business. But you don't have to do that stuff to be saved. You don't have to stand up and shake the preacher's hand to be saved. You don't have to do any of those things. You don't have to do good works to be saved. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou, you shalt be saved. And if you're willing to trust Christ as Savior right now, believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on a cruel cross, was buried and raised by God on the third day. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have taken your holy name in vain. I've disobeyed and dishonored my parents. I have stolen things. I have lusted after people and things in my heart. I have coveted what others have. I have lied before, and many other sins I've committed. And I understand that I deserve to go to the lake of fire with everybody else who is lost. Have mercy and grace upon my wretched soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins. As the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world was buried and raised by you from the dead on the third day, and he's sitting at your right hand. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to Gospel Light Society and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that I want to send to you free of charge that will help you grow. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.